Jan, welcome to Around Cincinnati.
Thank you, Jane.
You're one of the most active artists in town and such a leader in community-based art projects. We see the results all around us. And I want to talk about your own art making, but before we do that, let's talk about your work with other professional artists and with novices. You work together with these people in public projects. And one example is the set of murals on the Elder Street side of Our Daily Bread and Over the Rhine.
That's right.
And you're an advisor to that?
Yes. The original project was funded by the Mayerson Foundation. It was part of their service learning program. So 10 high schools participated. We did very good technical prep. They did excellent work on the murals. But house paint on plywood facing north only lasts so long. Anybody who's a homeowner that has a house that's made of wood knows that. So some peeling began, and they're doing a photographic document. They're doing a repro on vinyl canvas, and those vinyl canvases are going to be installed in the place of the original plywood boards. So it should be a good fix.
Well, you also lead Clifton Fest, which is an annual arts festival held in Clifton the last weekend in September. Mm-hmm. What's coming up for that this year?
Well, we are continuing to do our art carpets, which are original or reproduced images on the sidewalks of Ludlow Avenue Business District. We are aiming to have 35 artists doing those, and we are still recruiting. So if anybody's interested, I would love to hear from them, and I will train. We do a special process that allows the images to stay for 3 months. So they're there from September through the holidays. And for the ones that are really done with an eye to longevity, there are still some images that are remaining today there from last September. So that's exciting. We also will have 35 artisans selling their fine art and their fine craft. And we have three stages full of entertainment. These are musicians, for the most part, from our region. And the Cincinnati Park Board funds a kids' zone that is full of performances by puppeteers and music, actually, and performance from the CCM prep department. So it's a very nice program. It's very well-rounded. It runs from Friday night when we have jazz on the Clifton Plaza stage right through Sunday evening. There's something for everybody, and we just love to open the doors of the business district on Ludlow Avenue and invite everybody in.
Well, you've created a couple of projects in conjunction with our Sister Cities Network that are pretty amazing. The mosaic at Barry International Friendship Park is one of them, carried out with 8 visiting international ceramics artists, plus many local apprentices. What was it like to oversee all that?
That was a 3-year project. So the first year was all the planning and working through the Sister City Network to find the right master ceramist, somebody who wanted to come and live for a month in Cincinnati, who was willing to work for the fee that we could pay them. There were at least 12 grants that were written for that to underwrite the labor, the materials, and the fees for all of the visiting artists. And then because of the generosity of UC DAP giving us 1 month's worth of time in their ceramics lab, free of charge, plus all of the firing of all of those 15,000 handmade tiles, this was truly a remarkable manifestation of cooperation and goodwill all the way around. And the results are there down on the Friendship Pavilion. They're beautiful, not a spot of damage, and it's thrilling to know that no language barrier could keep us apart. There were several of those artists who didn't speak any English. So we also had to go looking for people who were willing to come every day to the workshop and do translations. So it was sure that they understood what needed to be done that day. And clay actually ended up being the language. And all of the apprentices learned from all the masters, and all the masters learned from each other. It was thrilling.
Sister Cities International gave you their Innovation in the Arts Award for an international drawing exchange that you created with artists from Ukraine and from Germany, from China and Cuba, as well as from Cincinnati. What can you tell us about that project?
It's called ReArt. And the way that it works is we try to engage 6 local artists, and we ask for a partner who is a professional artist in the other city to find 6 on their team. And each one of the artists creates an original work of art on an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper, which is pretty standard. Then we reproduce all of those and send it digitally to the other city and have that lead artist make a portfolio of all of the drawings from the other city for each one of their artists. Then each artist in each city is to treat that portfolio as fresh canvas, working on top of and with the images of the other artists to create a brand new piece of art. So you have these multiples of images that come out of every cycle of this re-art project. And then we have an exhibition of all of the works, and it's fascinating to see how the original image gets pushed around by the other artists. And there has to be a certain level of trust, a certain level of self-effacement to be up for this kind of a game. It's fascinating and has been quite successful.
Another one of your many activities is as a member of the Cincinnati Arts Allocation Committee, where you're a volunteer, but what you're doing is distributing $50,000 of public funds to working artists.
That's right.
And is it difficult to decide who should receive those grants?
It is. First of all, we're thrilled to have City Council and the mayor wanting to create this employment opportunity for our working arts community. It is not easy to find commissions when you're a working artist, and sometimes you go from commission to commission. So big thank you to City Hall and everyone who underwrites and supports this. Then we get our applications in. The Cincinnati Recreation Commission is our fiscal agent, and they are the ones who staff our committee. They're the ones that handle all of the applications, and then the committee members comb through that and try to score bypassed work samples that we review, and also a reading of the intention of the artist or the musician or the writer or the dramatist of what they would like to do with their $6,000 prize, were they to be selected among the top seven. This is challenging, but it is thrilling to see the amount of conceptual energy that comes in through these applications. And then it's also very thrilling to actually fund them and then watch these things come to light over a 12-month cycle.
Well, I think one of the reasons that you can direct such differing projects is that your own art making cuts across so many fields. Mm-hmm. You make assemblages, ceramics, paintings, and drawings. When you entered art school, did you expect to turn your hand to so many different skills?
I really didn't think about it. I know that I've always enjoyed using every material that's ever been presented to me. And in my first round, my bachelor's degree was to be a commercial illustrator and designer. But then I sort of turned the corner in the end of my junior year of studies and started leaning towards gallery work, producing gallery work and being a studio artist. So I started as a painter and started as a person who was drawing and painting two-dimensionally. But then when I went to DAP for my master's degree, I became interested in clay. I became interested in fiber. And so I wanted to start experimenting with these other mediums in an environment where I could go talk to some masters and find out the things that I needed to know. So in fact, my master's thesis was all assemblage and installation art, but you could see all of the painting and drawing on the edges of all of that. There's usually a drawn or painted element in the environment that is installed.
Well, you've also studied abroad in Florence and in Paris. What were you looking for there?
That was when I was doing a lot of figurative art. And so there's such a figurative tradition in Europe, especially in Florence. I went over to SACCI, Studio Art Centers International, and spent a month in Florence, Italy. First, in the morning, I would do art historical survey, which was fascinating because we would walk to the place and see the work after having a slide review. And then I would go into the painting studio in the afternoon. So that was where I did egg tempera painting. I knew how to do that because Connie McClure, who was my teacher at the Art Academy, had taught me how to do silver point, egg tempera, and fresco. So I had a really profound appreciation of everything that I was seeing over there. The same thing was true of what I was seeing in Paris, but really the whole figurative treasury of sculpture and painting in Europe for somebody who is interested in figure is, I think, without parallel. So that was rich food for me in the 90s. And then that was at a period when I was doing a lot of exhibition of my own work that was figure.
Thank you for sharing your talents and coming in to talk with us about your career.
It's my pleasure. Thank you, Jane.
We've been talking with Jan Brown-Checco, studio artist and arts administrator, who has in various ways left her mark all over town. For more information, see wvxu.org. For Round Cincinnati, I'm Jane Durrell.